Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text Number 12. Sarvartu,
Sarvartu,
Sarva,
Sarva,
Vibhava,
Vibhava,
Punya,
Punya,
Vriksha,
Vriksha,
Latashramai,
Latashramai,
Ujjano Pavana Rama,
Ujjano
Ujjano
Pavana
Arama, Vrita
Padmakara,
Shriyam Sarvato
Sarva
Vibhava,
Sarvato Sarva Vibhava,
Sarvato Sarva Vibhava,
Sarvato Sarva Vibhava,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Sarvatu Sarva Vibhava,
Sarvatu Sarva Vibhava,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Udyano Pavana Rama,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Sarvatu Sarva Vibhava,
Sarvatu Sarva Vibhava,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Punya Vriksha Latashramai,
Ujjano Pavana Rama,
Ujjano Pavana Ramai,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Vrita Padmakara Shriyam,
Tu sarva vibhava, punya vriksha latashramai,
udyano pavana ramai,
udyano pavana ramai,
vrita padma
karashriyam. Tu sarva vibhava, punya vriksha latashramai, udyano pavana rama, Vrita Padma Karashriyam.
Sarvatu Sarva Vibhava.
sarvato sarva vibhava punya vriksha latashramai ujjano pavana rama vritta padma karashriyam sarva Ritu,
seasons.
Sarva,
all.
Vibhava,
opulences.
Punya,
pious.
Vriksha,
trees.
Lata,
creepers.
Ashramai,
with hermitages.
Udyana.
Orchards.
Upavana.
Flower gardens.
Aramai.
Pleasure gardens and beautiful parks.
Vrita.
Surrounded by.
Padma Akara.
The birthplaces of lotuses are nice reservoirs of water.
Shriyam, increasing the beauty.
Translation: the city of Dwarkapuri was filled with the opulences of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water breeding lotus flowers all over. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Perfection of human civilization is made possible by utilizing the gifts of nature in their own way. As we find herewith in the description of its opulence, Dwarka was surrounded by flower gardens and fruit orchards, along with reservoirs of water and growing lotuses. There is no mention of mills and factories supported by slaughterhouses, which are the necessary paraphernalia of the modern metropolis. The propensity to utilize nature's own gifts is still there, even in the heart of modern civilized man. The leaders of modern civilization select their own residential quarters in a place where there are such natural, beautiful gardens and reservoirs of water. But they leave the common man to reside in congested areas without parks and gardens. Herein, of course, we find a different description of the city of Dwarka. It is understood that the whole dam or residential quarter was surrounded by such gardens and parks, with reservoirs of water where lotuses grew. It is understood that all the people depended on nature's gifts of fruit and flowers without industrial enterprises promoting filthy huts and slums for residential quarters. Advancement of civilization is estimated not on the growth of mills and factories to deteriorate the finer instincts of the human being, but on developing the potent spiritual instincts of human beings and giving them a chance to go back to Godhead. Development of factories and mills is called Ugra Karma, or pungent activities, and such activities deteriorate the finer sentiments of a human being and society to form a dungeon of demons. We find herein the mention of pious trees which produce seasonal fruits and flowers. The impious trees are useless jungles only, and they can only be used to supply fuels. In the modern civilization, such impious trees are planted on the side of roads. Human energy should be properly utilized in developing the finer senses for spiritual understanding, in which lies the solution of life. Fruits, flowers, beautiful gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water with ducks and swans playing in the midst of lotus flowers and cows giving sufficient milk and butter are essential for developing the finer tissues of the human body. As against this, a dungeon of mines, factories, and workshops develop demonic propensities in the working class. The vested interests flourish at the cost of the working class, and consequently, there are severe clashes between them in so many ways. The description of Dwarkadham is the ideal of human civilization. Om Ajnanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vayevaja Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. The city of Dwarkapuri was filled with the opulence of all seasons. There were hermitages, orchards, flower gardens, parks, and reservoirs of water breeding lotus flowers all over.
Wow, sounds very nice. Huh? So, certainly we all appreciate nature's beauty, but at the same time, when we appreciate nature's beauty, We're still drawn to the Maya of the nations of the material world. We enjoy things like cars, highways, and airports with airplanes. We make use of all of these things. Of course, we use them for Krishna, so that's the important point, that while we're not against technology, we're against how they use technology. But certainly there's a great beauty in nature, just like when we go to Mayapur, we can appreciate the tranquil atmosphere, the peaceful environment of Mayapur, although we can see it's also changed a lot since the early days. Even the holy dams are not safe from the advancement of society. Economic development has also interfered with the dam to some extent. So Prabhupada mentions that particularly the things which he does not like. Factories producing so many things which are not really essential for our life. Mills, meaning what could be cloth mills. So many mills are producing the synthetic cloths, and slaughterhouses also. So this is the nature of the material world. It is full of all of these things. I was just in one city in China, and we were riding in the car and came through one place, and the man said to me, he said, This used to be all fruit gardens and fruit trees, and now it's huge, big buildings. So this is the price, what you pay for economic development. I used to ride the train from Hong Kong to Guangzhou, and you would see so many fields and people in the fields growing vegetables. Now all you see is big buildings and factories. So this is the way of economic development. They take away the resources of nature for the sense gratification. For sense gratification, in order to produce so many objects for our sense gratification, they take away all the natural resources. The natural environment is destroyed. So many nice land, which is good, fertile land, which is good for agriculture, is used for building a factory or a brewery or some other such place. They just built a big casino in Singapore so that all the people can go and gamble. So this is catering for the sense gratification of the mass of people. If you ask them, please give us some land, we want to build a big factory, they say, oh yeah, very good, we'll be very happy. But if you say, please give us some land, we want to put a nice temple for Krishna, they say, oh no, no. So, this is a way of the Kali Yuga. People do not know how to make use of nature's resources. We think everything is just for sense gratification. We think with economic development we will have sense gratification, and in this way we will be happy, we will enjoy. But we see that people are more unhappy than ever before. More dissatisfied, more stressed and miserable. Nobody is satisfied, just simply created a hellish environment for people. Everything is plastic and chemicals everywhere. Even the food is full of so many chemicals and toxics. Nothing is safe. The air is all full of so much pollution. You cannot drink water safely. The whole world has been ruined by mankind. And now the ice caps are all melting and threatening to create so much damage to the environment. And why? Because people want air conditioners everywhere. Because they want to use their electricity and run different motors and generators. Big fridges, refrigerators, we have these things. You walk in a big store or a big shopping center and the whole place is air conditioned, freezing cold, you know. People are thinking, oh, very nice. Yeah. Even these places become a mecca for all the young people to hang out and to be in. So nature has actually provided everything for us, for our needs, but it's provided enough for our needs, but not for our greed, as we say, because we have that so much desire to enjoy this material world. So therefore we make all of these different arrangements at the extent of destroying the beauty. fruit trees and parks. And even like in Florida, in USA, Florida, they will put trees, but they will put the tree which will not have fruits, because they don't want fruits. They don't want we don't want these fruits falling all over the ground, making a mess. We don't want flowers dropping all over the place, you know. If you look at the trees they put, I know, usually in at least in Hong Kong and in China, you'll see they're expert. They'll put these different trees which are impious trees, described here as being impious trees. Means no fruit, no flowers. Just simply good for leaves, some leaves, and they also preferred no leaves. Because they have to sweep the leaves. So, if they do put a tree, it will be a fruit which is cannot be eaten. They will have some. They have these oranges in Florida. They have these oranges which are hopeless. You know, nobody could eat it. You know, just for look. You know. But not edible, it's not for eating. Looks like an orange, but you can't eat them. So they will have a tree like that. They won't put anything which, you know, they think, well, if we have fruits, the birds will all come. We don't want all these birds coming, dropping stool everywhere and like making a mess. And we don't want these fruits going rotten and then falling on the ground. We don't want to have the trouble of taking care of them. And why should you put a park there, you know, a park? You have to cut the grass. You have to take care of it. And people sit there all day and do nothing. You know, we should build a big factory and let people go and have jobs and they can work like asses in some hellish environment with machines clashing all day, you know, the thump and the banging of machines, and so many people, they have to spend their whole lives working in the most hellish conditions. Factories are horrible places, you know. You go into a factory, you know, the most dirty, smelly, no air, all filthy dust everywhere, and people are working there all day and spend their whole lives. And of course they go also, they'll dig in the ground, will make mines as well. So people are doing all of these things to exploit the resources of the material world just for their sense gratification. But everything is already provided by nature. Within the sea there are so many jewels, pearls, and so many stones and minerals that are also there available in the mountains and in the earth. We can use the land to grow fruits and vegetables and grains, but we're not satisfied with that. It's not enough. We have to have more. So therefore we build all of these factories, and they have so many different technologies to create things which they say are going to make our life better, right? To make our life more comfortable. You know, people are thinking air conditioning, that this is, they're thinking this is comfort. Cold drinks, they take their drinks out of the refrigerator, everything ice cold. They're thinking, oh yes, this is very nice. They don't know that all of these things are really harmful, very bad for them. And then the factories, they will put their waste products, they will litter them all over the place. And they will put filthy water, contaminated water into the rivers and into the seas. All the waste products will be left littering everywhere. have atomic power stations, and with the nuclear waste, you know, the radioactive materials, they don't know what to do with it, so they say, oh, we'll just put it in the ocean. We'll leave it in the ocean, and then in 30 years, you know, we'll be dead, let somebody else worry about it. You know, we won't be here 30 years time, so some other people can take care of it then, you know. So that's what they do. They put so much radioactive waste is put into the sea, and then people eat seafood also, then, you know, we also get affected. So Dwarka, at least Dwarka, was a nice place. Lotus flowers, we want to create such nice places for pilgrimage. Our Krishna consciousness movement is to establish these kind of places, just like Dwarka Puri. We want to have these kind of places all over the world, not only just in Mayapur or Vrindavan, but all over the world. So we hope, you know, in the future there will be also many such places where we can have a nice, we can show people what the beauty of living in nature. Hermitages, you know, they're almost lost to mankind. There's so few hermitages anywhere now. We need to have these kind of places where people can have an opportunity to practice simple living and high thinking. So we need to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to hear about these places in order to develop some appreciation for them. It's rare that people even get the chance to go into the countryside. You know, we just simply live in the cities all of our life, working all day. We go to work in a car or in a subway or in a train. So, I mean, you hardly ever get a chance to see nature. Nowadays, people also, they don't even travel by land. They'll take planes everywhere, so they never really see anything. They never get a chance to see the beauty of the countryside, with cows and birds and so many different trees and fruits and vegetables. So these are all the gifts of God. We have to appreciate. We can get more respect and appreciation by seeing nature. Men in the mode of goodness will live in the countryside. The city is a place of passion. You can feel the energy, the passion of a city. As soon as you get into a city, the vibrations, the sounds, it's such a different atmosphere from living in the countryside. When you can go in the countryside, not just visit the countryside, but you can, if you actually go and stay there for some time, then it's a completely different lifestyle. People live much longer, they're much more peaceful, they don't have the same kind of diseases which people in the city have. But nowadays, nobody wants to live in the countryside. Everybody wants to go to the city. All the people from the countryside think, no, I don't want to stay here, there's nothing here, I want to go to the big city. We're thinking the enjoyment is in the big city life. There, the enjoyment is very limited and temporary. There is some pleasure there, but it's very small pleasure. Chapala sukha, right? Chapala sukha means flickering, very temporary pleasure. In order to live in a city, you have to take a job, you have to work for so many wicked, miserly people, and you have to put up with all kinds of conditions, tolerate the heat, and the wind and the rain, all the different seasons, and you have to put up with it, keep working in order to get some little enjoyment. After all the working all year, then you get 2 weeks holiday and you can go to the countryside. You can go to the countryside and enjoy, or some people go to the beach, to the seaside, and in this way they feel relaxed, they feel comfortable, enjoying nature. But the nature is always there. You can always enjoy it. But because people have so much greed, they have so many desires, they will tolerate so much inconvenience. Just like in China, now when you go to the countryside, when you go to the places in the countryside, you'll see all the houses are empty. All the young people have gone. Where have they all gone? They've gone to work in some factory. They're all working in some city where there's a factory. Instead of working in the fields and growing some crops, they've gone to work in a factory. And they will come home for some festival, and they'll bring their money, and they'll build their bigger house. You know, they'll make their house bigger than it was, or they'll put more floors and make. So in the countryside, you see they've got these big houses, and there's only one or two old people living in it. Because all the young people, they've all gone to the factory, to work in the factory, to make money. And they'll make money. What will they do? They'll buy a motorbike. They'll get some motorbike, and they'll think, oh, now I'm really enjoying, you know. On that same motorbike, they'll have some crash, they'll get injured or killed, and they'll suffer, you know. They could live peacefully, simply. They have land, but they don't want to do that. They're thinking, no, you have to go work in the factory, then you can buy a television, then you can see everything on television, you can enjoy in this way. So many factories are there creating televisions, computers, and refrigerators, all of these things for our sense gratification. But actually we can live without all of these things. In the past we didn't have these things. We didn't have televisions and refrigerators. People were living happily. People were living nicely. They didn't have all of these cancerous diseases everywhere. All of this. They didn't have all of this pollution. They didn't have this problem of global warming. So, we are responsible. We have created the hellish situation. Actually, Krishna gave us very nice situation. The planet was very nice, but we have not taken proper care of it. We have not used it the proper way. So from Srimad Bhagavatam we can learn how we should use things. We should have nice parks and orchards, grow fruits and flowers, have ponds and lakes. Just like in Bengal, you can see everywhere there's many lakes, kunds, you know. And people will come there and, you know, they'll wash their clothes and bathe there. In Thailand, when they have a pond, they'll grow seafood. They'll grow some shrimps or something. We have to learn how to cultivate the mode of goodness. A nice, peaceful environment is very good for our mental health. You don't get mental health living in a big city with so much traffic and noise, pollution. You get simply exhausted, more exhausted by living in these conditions. So we want to attract people, we want to establish these kind of communities where people will live depending on nature, of a nice agricultural based community. We're not against technology, but it becomes excessive, you know, that we create so many unnecessary things which are really not so much needed. They want to go on and produce more and more goods. You know, one car is not enough for a family anymore. Everyone in the family has to have their car, you know. It's not enough just to have one television. You have to have a television in every room. You know, if you go to America, you'll see like that. There's a television in every room. And everybody's got their car. You know, one is not enough. And you have to go on and on, more and more. So it becomes excessive. You know, you just want more, and there's no limit. It is lust only, O Arjuna, the all-devouring sinful enemy, which burns like fire and cannot be satisfied. So this is the problem. When we live with our greatest enemy, you sleep with your greatest enemy. Lust. It is this lust which is the problem. And so we have to conquer over this lust by regulating the senses. We have to purify that lust, transform it to love for Krishna. The more we develop love for Krishna, then we will naturally be detached from all of these things, the material world. People in Calcutta, they appreciate so much when they go out to Mayapur. At least they used to. I don't know if they appreciate nowadays, but they used to. So nice, peaceful place. Used to be. So Vrindavan used to be so peaceful. So these places are meant for spiritual culture. They're meant for purification of our existence. You don't get purified when you sit in front of a television set. You don't get purified when you drink beer and smoke cigarettes and all of these things. So this is what modern life is all about. But most people don't want purification. And they just want contamination. If it's all about contamination, okay. We don't mind. Just let us enjoy. So, we're trying to educate people. We cannot expect everyone will be interested. You can't expect everyone will accept. But at least for some people, they can understand the value, they can take advantage of these places. Okay, any question?
I wanted to ask, like, even ISKCON, we have many farm communities, but somehow or other, it's not working so sustainable because some people stay there for some time and then maybe they cannot cope with the environment, or maybe their consciousness is not as advanced to live such a simple life. Like in Germany, I think in some places, also in Europe. So is it because, as you said yesterday, that we have to have we have to do devotional service, but it has to be also sustainable, right? Is it because we are not in that consciousness, or it's going to happen later? Or
yeah, well, sometimes people come to live in these on a farm, live on the land, but they're not mentally or spiritually prepared. You know, they have maybe they have families, have difficulty to maintain their family. It's not so easy in the sense that, you know, if they have a family especially, you have to maintain, maybe for education purposes, for children's education is a problem. Sometimes their health, if they need to see doctors and things, that can also be a problem. Just surviving on the land can be a problem. Like in Germany, you know, then winter is very cold. You're not going to be able to grow things all year. There will be winter, and then everything freezes. What are you going to do? How will you maintain? How will you survive? So you have to have people who have some experience in these things. It's not that if you're used to city life, then you can just suddenly go to the countryside and live on the land with no experience. You don't know how to do things. You're not accustomed to it. So that's the problem.
Another thing, like my grandparents, my mothers, they live in a village, they have cow and, you know, they have a nice life. So when I was a small child, I used to go to the village once in a year for like 1 month when I had vacation, I used to stay there. So personally, when I reflect, I would find that kind of condition much more favorable. But If I look in terms of association and devotee association, also teaching opportunities, then it wouldn't really be, I mean, there are hardly any people there.
Yeah.
So if you look at the MISKCON as a teaching movement,
yeah,
then how can we incorporate that? Because, you know, if you go there, then maybe you will maintain yourself. But then how can we as a teaching movement and in a sustainable, as you know, like when we, I don't think it will be possible for you, or if you're in Bangkok, we can get so much association. Even in Nepal, it's difficult to get that association.
Yeah.
So if you consider like villages, people staying there.
Okay.
How would it be possible as a preaching moment also get association of senior devotees?
Yeah, sure. You would want it to be more of a community. You wouldn't like to just be on your own. But if it was a community, if other people were there, you know, you want to have like a Krishna conscious village. You know, that the village are all devotees. Then regularly you can, every day you can have and within the village there's a temple and you worship the deity, just like in the farm community. You know, they have a temple and the devotees come there and they can worship the deity together and they'll have the programs every day. But, you know, you go to live off the land, you know, in the morning you've got to go out there in the fields, you know, you've got to go to work, you've got cows, and maybe 4 o'clock in the morning you don't go to Mangal Arati, you go and milk the cows, you know. And then when the sun comes up, then you get out there in the fields, because this is a good time before the sun comes up. You're seeing all the people, they go out in the fields there at 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun rises. You know, get out there, they've got to go out there and see what needs to be done. It's a good time to work there, early morning for them, very important time. Later on, the sun comes up and gets hot, and they can't do so much. But in the early morning, it's a good time. And the cows in the early morning also, they have to be cared for. So like that, you know, your chanting and reading may have to be adjusted. You know, your spiritual program has to be adjusted according to the place where you are. Yeah, these are things people are not always willing to do, make these sacrifices, you know. But one way or another, you know, if you don't do that, then you have to work another way. You have to go to work all day. You have to spend all the day working, you know. You can have your morning program and then you go to work and work all day. And the farmer, you know, he's going to work early in the morning. He's got maybe a bit easier in the daytime. He can chant, can read, can hear, you know. He can, and the farmer's work will be seasonal also. It will be regulated by season. It won't be so monotonous as the office work, day in, day out, every day you're going there, the same day after day. But the farmer's work will be regulated by seasons, planting, harvesting, maintaining, like that. So there's certainly some differences there.
Some people they also give the reason why they want to have like city life. They prefer city life more than village life. Is also in terms of the security. Like in villages, when you live nearby, like jungle and other places, then you know the animals come or. I mean, the snakes have been more often and like that. So when you stay in a city life, then you have a preferable land, and then, you know, you have the doors and everything made properly, and it's comfortable and secure. Like for example, in my village, when my grandfather had died, then all of my family, they had gone to the village. And when they were staying there, then in the 12 days, one of my cousin brother, he was bitten by a snake there, just while sleeping.
Oh.
He went out for the toilet, and they don't have the toilets there like proper. So he was bitten by a snake and he died, and nobody knew because the hospitals were far away. So nobody knew that what happened to him because it was at night dark. So most of the people then, you know, for the security reason also, maybe they don't want to stay over there in the village, you know. They give this also argument.
Well, there's a lot less security in the cities. You know, if you think you're not secure in the countryside, you're a lot less secure in the city. Anything can happen in a city. You can be beaten and robbed and raped and anything, you know. I mean, certainly, you know, I think people in the countryside are probably more secure than cities. You can be run over by a car, hit by a motorbike, you know. There's so many dangers here in the city. Yeah, I mean, there's danger everywhere. But, you know, I think you're probably safer in the countryside than in the city. Anyway. Certainly in the countryside you can feel closer to Krishna. You can feel that. Yeah, snakes are there. I had a snake in my house in Munjan one day. Yeah, there was a snake there.
Maybe that was night time, that's why you didn't see the snake.
Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.